Well, good morning to you. It's a joy to be with you. Here at Central, we are a church that seeks the transformation of our lives, our communities, and our world through the renewing work of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And we are in the midst of a series right now through one of the most famous portions of Jesus' teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, which shows us what life looks like when we follow him as our King and Redeemer. So would you pray with me as we turn to the Lord's Word together? Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes today, that we would behold wonderful things from your word. Lord, that you would lift the eyes of our hearts to you to know that in you we are always seen and always loved. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you in this time. Please speak to us and help us to hear. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Would you read with me from Matthew chapter 6, a couple sections here from Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. We live in a world that loves selfies, and we take a lot of them. A lot of them. Now, actual hard numbers are kind of hard to come by, but Google reported about 5 years ago that there were 93 million selfies taken in 1 year just on its Android devices. That doesn't even count all the iPhones. So we take a lot of selfies. They've become so common that the word selfie was added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013. And even more importantly, and more officially, it was ruled as an officially acceptable word in Scrabble in 2014. Then you know you've hit the big time, right? Now, selfies can be really, really fun, but they can have a darker side to them as well. 72% of plastic surgeons these days report having patients request procedures specifically so that they will look better in their selfies to post on social media. And growing numbers of people each year actually die taking selfies. Within the last few years, almost 90 people per year have died trying to take epic selfies and unfortunately perishing in doing so, falling off buildings and cliffs and drowning when boats capsize and getting too close to dangerous animals. Why do we love taking selfies? And why do we love posting them to display to the world? I think it's because we want to be seen. We want to be seen. And sometimes we want to be seen in order to be praised by others. Now, selfies and social media are new, but this desire to be seen and to impress others is not. Jesus calls out this problem in these verses. Look with me at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now notice that the problem that Jesus identifies is not doing these good things. Jesus is not criticizing giving and fasting. Indeed, look at verses 2 and verse 16. He begins, when you give to the needy, when you fast. You see, Jesus expects that his followers will be doing these good things. The problem here is the motive. It's the motive of wanting the praise of others that leads us to go out of our way to put those good things on public display in prominent ways before other people in ways that they don't have to be. Now, the precise form of what Jesus may be talking about here is not quite clear. There don't seem to be any historical examples of people blowing literal trumpets before them as they're giving for the needy. So what Jesus is probably using this word trumpet here as a really strong image or metaphor to talk about drawing attention to yourself in some very noticeable way. The fasting issue is a little clearer. People were making themselves look unpleasant, look disheveled, look gloomy, showing their distress in order to show that they're suffering for being spiritual. Now, raise your hand. How many of you have made a big public deal out of giving to the needy or making yourself look unpleasant when you're fasting? Anybody? All right. Now, you might think, well, these ancient problems are not our problems. Why are we talking about this morning? Well, not so fast, right? We're not off the hook, because all we need to do to see the challenge of these verses is to ask ourselves, do we still do things, good things even, in order to be seen and praised by others? As my kids would say, oof, right? Ouch, because of course we do. Of course we do this all the time. Here are some examples of what this might look like in your life and in mine. It might look like dominating a group conversation with stories about our life that make us look good, because we want to be seen and praised as interesting people. It might look like speaking up to give our opinion about something because we have, not because we have something meaningful to help someone else, but just because we want to be seen as an important contributor to the conversation. We want to be seen and praised as smart people. It might look like always angling for ways to talk about our educational credentials, or that volunteering or service that we did, or that project that we published. We want to be seen and praised as competent people. It might look like going out of our way to mention to coworkers or others how many hours we work or how much overtime we're putting in, because we want to be seen and praised as hard workers. It might look like virtue signaling in social media, going out of our way to give our hot take on the latest trendy topic, not because we really have to, but because we just want to be seen and praised by being part of the right group and having the right position and being the right kind of people. And here's maybe the most convicting and addicting thing of all. We absolutely love the like buttons on our social media, don't we? How many posts or tweets or snaps do we do? Mostly because we just want to see those little notifications. We want to see those like numbers go up. Seriously, how long can you go before you just have to look at that little notification symbol that comes up on your phone, right? How long can you go before you just have to look at it? I feel that pull so strongly. Things appear on my phone and my thought is, who responded? What did they say? I've got to see now. We are being trained by our devices to live by the like button, to measure even our value and our worth as people by the likes and praise that we get online. The designers of social media know this. They know this. The apps are designed by really smart people to have these addicting qualities, to produce the pleasurable brain chemicals that lead to these kinds of addictive responses. If you haven't yet seen the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, it's well worth watching, The Social Dilemma. It's a documentary where you can hear the regrets and the fears of men and women who actually worked designing software and apps for Apple and Google and Microsoft. And they become afraid of what they've created because of these very dynamics. Now, the core issue this taps into, the reason we're so susceptible to that kind of addiction is the matter of the heart that Jesus names here in these verses. We want to be seen and praised by other people. And Jesus uses a strong word to describe what's going on when we do this. He uses the word hypocrites. The word in Greek refers to an actor or actress that is acting in a play. And so what Jesus means here is that when we do good things in order to be seen by others, we're not actually being good. We're actually just playing at being good with outward actions that actually don't match our heart. doing outward actions that profess love for God, but inwardly just primarily loving ourselves. So what Jesus is describing here is not just an ancient problem, it's a modern problem for us. And if we're honest, I think we can see ways that all of us can be hypocrites at times in many things that we do. But why is this a problem? Why does Jesus warn us so strongly about the spiritual danger of living for the reward of being seen and praised by others? I think if we think about it, if we think about what's happening in our relationships when we do this, we can see that it creates big, big problems. Living to be seen and praised by others means that our attention and concern is really focused inward. The early church pastor and writer Augustine describes this as lying at the very heart of our sinful condition. He described our sinful condition in Latin as being incurvatus in se, which means curved in on oneself. And this inward focus warps our character, so that when we are focused mostly on getting the praise of others, we are less and less able to actually care about others. We're less and less able to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're less and less able to weep with those who weep because we're focused inward. When we live for the praise of others, we find it hard to turn away from the inward hunger of our heart so that we can turn outward to love people well. Indeed, living to be seen and praised by others makes it impossible to love others well, because we're really, in that moment, just using other people as a means of boosting our own self-image. For example, I've sometimes found myself in conversations at times realizing that I wasn't even paying full attention to the person who was talking to me. I wasn't even respecting them enough to do that because I was mostly thinking about what I was going to share the next time I got a chance to talk. Can anyone relate with this to me? If you can relate, say amen, right? Okay, good to know. It's all of us, right? In doing this, yes. Or you might see it like this. You might see it, this happen when politicians or executives or organizations show up in troubled communities for a photo op that benefits their image, without having any real intention to do anything substantive to help the community long term. And those communities rightly feel used when that kind of thing happens. Finally, living to be seen and praised by others can never really satisfy us, can never satisfy. Note how God describes the result of this in verse 2. He says, "Those who do this have already received their reward in the praise of others." That's it. That's the reward. You got the praise of others. Congratulations. And what a measly, measly reward that actually is. If you think about it, how satisfying is it to be seen and praised by others? I mean, how solid is it? How long-lasting is it? You know, it maybe is there for a few seconds, or maybe a few days at most. But praise for any one act usually evaporates at some point. It just disappears like mist or smoke that you can never really grab onto and hold forever. So you need more and more and more. And if you do something that other people don't like, that praise is going to disappear even faster. People's attention span is short, and it's unpredictable all the time. So if other people are the source of your good self-image and your sense of worth as a person, then you're going to need to keep doing good things to get their praise everywhere, all the time, without fail. And that is an exhausting and anxious way to live. You can never let up, because it could disappear at any moment. And as soon as you get it, you need more and more and more. And yet it's never enough to satisfy the infinite hunger of our hearts. To be seen and praised by others is bondage, and we need to be set free. Now, the way to be free from this bondage is to first realize what it is that we're seeking, what it is that our hearts are hungering for. What is that hunger deep down that leads us to want to be seen and praised by others in this way? It's the hunger to be known and valued. It's the hunger to be always seen and always loved. And the good news today is that what is impossible with people is possible with God. It is possible with God. I want you to say that with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is possible with God. Amen, amen. Our infinite hunger to be always seen and always loved can only be filled by an infinite God, because he's the only one who always sees and who always loves perfectly. God is everywhere. He always sees. Look at verse 4. Your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. He sees in secret because he is present to see everything everywhere. Do you remember being in a class when the teacher was taking attendance? And when they called your name, you had to raise your hand and say, here? Remember doing that? Well, when you take God's attendance, wherever you are, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, God always raises his hand to say, here. In St. Louis, here. On the other side of the world, here. In Honduras, here. At the top of the highest mountain, here. At the lowest possible valley, here. When you are afraid, here. In the most painful moments of your life, here. As Psalm 139 says so powerfully, speaking to the Lord, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that is the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. This is such good news. This is such good news. God is present to us everywhere. And so wherever we go, we are always seen and always loved. That's worth repeating. Turn to your neighbor and say, always seen and always loved. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven knows everything about us, and he loves us deeply. And the ultimate revelation of this good news is Jesus himself. The God who sees us is Jesus. In Christ, we are always seen and always loved. By trusting him and by entrusting ourselves into his hands to follow him, we can be set free from the bondage of living to be seen and praised by other people. You see, Jesus is the pattern and the presence of God that makes it possible for us to be free from needing to be seen and praised by others. He's the pattern for us because he's already lived a life in just this way on our behalf. The eternal Son of God left the glory of heaven and was content to become a humble servant in a humble place. He spent most of his adult life quietly doing good, simple work, unknown and unrecorded, unknown to anyone except a small circle of family and friends that he knew. How could he be content doing that? How could he be content? He could be content in that humble place because he lived with his attention constantly fixed on his Father in heaven. If you asked Jesus how he was doing, his answer would always be, we're doing fine. Because he couldn't even conceive of life apart from constant awareness and constant interaction with his Father in heaven. He knew and he lived every moment of his life knowing that he was always seen and always loved by his Father. But even more than our pattern, Jesus is the very presence of the loving God made flesh for us to be the constant source of divine life and love that we need to set us free from our bondage. He died in our place to suffer the consequences of our selfishness. He died to put to death all the sinful ways that you and I try to fill that infinite hunger in our hearts in sinful ways and in wrong ways by performing for others or using others for our own glory. And nothing shows us how much we are loved and how much we are valued by God than the fact that God himself in Christ would suffer on the cross the full consequences of all of our sin and death and judgment. As Keith and Kristen Getty put it in the song that we will sing today, at the cross we find my value fixed and my ransom paid. And in Jesus Christ we have also the ongoing presence of God in our lives, because he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to rule over all things and to send his Spirit to dwell within us, within our hearts forever. By his Spirit, Jesus, the risen King, is always present to us. He always sees us. He always loves us. He always rules over all things for us. This one who is the King of Kings, the sovereign Lord ruling over all creation, he sees you. He sees you, and he loves you deeply. If you will only turn your eyes and turn your heart away from the sight and praise of other people, and instead turn your sight and praise and focus of your heart towards him, then you can experience constant communion with him. If you turn to him and trust him, he will reward you with the outpouring of his love and his wisdom and his guidance and his goodness. And all of that is what we need to truly satisfy the deep, deep hunger of our heart forevermore. He himself is our great reward, and you only have to look to him and trust him in order to receive him. How much better is that? How much better is being seen and loved by the Creator and Lord of all than merely being seen and praised by other people? The love of God gives us dignity, but living for the praise of others makes us trade our dignity for mere popularity. The love of God is steadfast. It's constant. You can always count on it. But living for the praise of other people is an up and down experience. It disappears in a moment. The love of God turns us outward and upward so that we're actually able to love, but living for the praise of others turns us inward, away from others, to ourselves. The love of God enables us to love others freely and fully, but living for the praise of others makes us use others for our own glory to feel significant. The love of God is freely given and sets us free. Living for the praise of others makes us bound to a goal that we can never achieve and that will never satisfy. In Christ, friends, we are free. We are free from the burden of having to do good things to perform for other people. You don't need the praise of others to be significant. You don't need the praise of others to be somebody. You don't need the praise of others to fill that infinite hunger of your soul, which it can never do anyway, because you're already significant, because God made you and loves you. In Christ, we are seen, we are valued, we are loved perfectly, completely, forever. So we can be content. We can be content to do good things that are unseen by others, that are unknown by others, that are unrewarded by others, because a love and power as strong as God's can even make us courageous and strong enough to stand up and resist the rest of the crowd when the rest of the crowd is doing wrong. We can do that and still be content and still be joyful and still know that we matter because God sees and God cares and God loves. So we need to do everything that we possibly can to cultivate our constant awareness of his presence and his love. Cultivate the practice of prayer as a continuing conversation with God that never stops all throughout your day, woven in throughout all the tasks of life that you're doing. Some people have called this practicing the presence of God in all things. Maybe you can work on memorizing some portion of Scripture throughout your day as a regular reminder to listen to God and to pray to him at all times about everything. Give yourself practical reminders throughout the day to remember to pause and pray. Put it on your calendar. Use post-it notes or a song list maybe that you keep coming back to, or whatever will work for you to help you remember that you are always walking in his sight and in his love. In Christ, with Christ, friends, we will never walk alone. We will never walk alone because we are always walking in his sight and in his love, always seen and always valued and always loved perfectly, completely, forever. And in this way, God is our great reward. Turn to him, trust him, love him, and you will know his joy and his peace and his love to fill that hunger of your heart forevermore. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our very being. We ask you to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit so that in every moment and in every care and in every situation of our life, we will not forget you, but that we may remember that we are always walking in your sight, always seen, always valued, always loved by your steadfast, merciful, gracious love. Set us free to turn our eyes and give our hearts to you in love so that we can walk with you in the ultimate freedom and joy and peace and love that you created us and saved us to know with you forever. Amen.